very thankful for that greeting and just appreciate that, that we hear that every Sunday. May I gather us together now around the reading of God's Word, which is today found in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 26 through 37. Just as it was in the days of Noah, this is Jesus speaking, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. And they said to him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. A more somber tone on this presentation to you this day than was last week when we had the joy of Christ and how his presence there on earth proclaimed the kingdom of God by him being known as the incarnate Word of God, God in the flesh, the truth of God being spoken in a visible representation in the form of a man who came to live and work to give to us a public illustration of how God would have us to live our lives and to love each other and to care about each other. In the latter part of this passage, where he is speaking with his disciples and also answering the question that the Pharisees had asked him, he also wanted to let them know that there will come a day of reckoning. And this is what he's talking about today, this day of reckoning where there will be no doubt who our Lord and our King is. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess on that day, as Scripture says, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Your thought for today is, the day of the Lord will be glorious for all who truly love Christ. The day of the Lord will be glorious for all who truly love Christ. And that is a time of thanksgiving that all of us can have in our hearts. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. That day of the Lord should not be looked upon as a day of dread or with foreboding, as many do. But for those of us who have Christ as Savior and Lord, who call Him our King, who call Him our Savior, and who are being sanctified in a way that we will one day proclaim Him and possess Him as Lord, that day is a day of thanksgiving. Because in that day, we'll usher in our time of rest, our time of transition in glorified bodies to that day when we will spend eternity of Christ, no longer burdened or beset with problems and suffering. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, as Revelation reminds us in that day, for those of us who truly love Christ. But there are some things that I want to share with you about this passage. And the first is, as Jesus says, it will come in the middle of your life. The day of the Lord will come in the middle of your life. There are some characteristics about it that I'm going to share with you. That's the first one. It will come in the middle of your life. And I'm going to let Scripture do a lot of the talking today, because that day of the Lord, as it's talked about in Luke 17 and Matthew 24 and 25, probably the most comprehensive passages you're going to have about that day of final judgment. So it wasn't, and then of course, you know, the book of Revelation. So it wasn't something in detail like Paul's letters to the churches, where it's more detail about how I want you to live your life and how you are to live in a way that glorifies God. And so I want Scripture to confess and to profess what it relates to us about that day. In Matthew 24, it says, "Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And then this brings up that attitude of watchfulness that we are called to in Scripture. Watchfulness means that we stay on guard, that we understand the meaning of today. There are so many books that have been sold. In fact, as I was listening to some of the TV pastors this morning, waiting to come to church, I heard this one being introduced as a man who spent 60 years studying the Scripture, and I'm thankful for that. And he's a well-respected man, but he spent 60 years studying the Scripture. And in fact, his sermon for that day, or his talk, I think it was a conference that they had recorded, and his talk that day was going to be about the final judgment, the coming, second coming of Christ, that kind of thing. So that's why it kind of piqued my interest. But it was related as a gentleman who had spent 60 years studying these things. And so what does that say? Listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. But there are books that are written, there are lectures that are given, and people flock to that kind of stuff because they just have an interest in it. When is it going to happen? What does it mean in Daniel? What does it mean in Revelation? Who's the dragon? Who's the four-headed beast? Who are all of those things that Scripture talks about? And what does that mean for me? Well, I'll tell you what that means for us. And it comes from the words of Christ itself, himself. Because he says in Matthew 6, don't worry about tomorrow. He says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't lose, this is my words, don't lose today worried over tomorrow. Don't lose today being worried about tomorrow. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people are so tied up in the not yet that they forget about being present, that they forget about being in the moment in today with their loved ones, with their children, with the people that matter to them in that present day fight against evil. I've said this to you before, but I'll keep saying it because that's my purpose here, one of my purposes here. Don't get so caught up in that yet to be that you lose sight of this fact. It doesn't matter when Christ returns or how he returns, because the day that you pass away, as far as you are concerned, Christ has returned. That's why Jesus wanted us not to spend our energy on the yet to be. That's going to take care of itself. That's why he said sufficient to this day are its own struggles. Sufficient to this day are its own concerns, are its own cares. And if we're not present in that moment, we're going to let worry about tomorrow take away the joy from this day, take away the watchfulness from this day. Sin is ever present. It is a constant battle in the lives of all of us to battle against all the stuff that we hear, how that makes us feel on the inside, what it tempts us to do. Jesus says here, just as in the days of Noah and Lot, you're just going to be living your life, and life will swallow you. Life will consume you, and it is never full. Just as in the days of Noah and Lot, people were going out, they were getting married, they were doing business transactions, they were building houses, they were going to their equivalent to college. They were just doing just the stuff of life. They were out deer hunting. They were out fishing. They were out doing all of these things that people do. Until God called Tom. And as far as they were concerned, that day Christ had returned. Grace had been extended until God shut the door of the ark. And then those who heard and responded were saved. When Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed, a message came to Lot. He tried to get some of his family to go. They didn't want to go. But those who heard and responded were saved. And Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. If you remember, she came out of the city, but she looked back after being told not to because she wanted something that was there. It was hard for her to let that go. And she paid the ultimate price for that. God is saying, be watchful. Hear His word. Respond to that word. And you will be saved like those in Noah's ark and those that escaped Sodom and Gomorrah. Sufficient to this day is its evil. Be watchful this day. Don't let tomorrow lose your today. The second thing is, it's going to be a day of separation. Matthew 25 says, again, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then Matthew 25:41 says, then He will say to those on His left, depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Right now, people have freedom. People have freedom to curse God. They scoff. They mock Him. They make jokes about Him. They can be angry with Him. They run from Him. But the authority has been given to Christ to execute judgment, Scripture says, because He is the Son of Man. So that freedom that mankind enjoys now will be taken away on that day. Scripture says there will be no one who could refute, no one who can rebel. But it says what? Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. In other words, it will be known beyond a shadow of a doubt that day who is sovereign King, who is Lord. And in all the mocking, 2 Peter talks about there will be scoffers in that day. Well, where is this coming? Hey, He said He was coming back. I don't see anybody. I hear people just like that today. They have that same kind of argument in some of the things that I read. Well, what you talked about, He's been coming back. You know, in first century Scripture, people said He's coming back soon. I don't see Him. Who's this great granddaddy in the sky? And they scoff and mock. But one day, every tongue will be silent as they stand in judgment. And all scoffing and mockery, ridicule, rebellion will be silenced. Because it will be a time of separation. Those who have lived for Christ, who have worked in their lives to overcome sin, who have held on in faith to Him as Savior, will be the sheep that will be welcomed into the kingdom. The goats will be cast out. Those are all who have lived in rebellion against Him. And as I said Wednesday night, there is a common phraseology we use now, especially in athletics, where we call somebody the GOAT, G-O-A-T acronym, greatest of all time. On that day, you don't want to be a GOAT, folks. On that day, you do not want to be a GOAT. Because on that day, those who are on the left will be cast out of God's presence. And there will be a silent reception of that judgment. Scripture calls weeping and gnashing of teeth over the agony, over the sorrow of what could have been. Too late will people realize that day of what they should have been, what they could have been. Maybe they remember that sermon that they laughed at, or that preacher that came by their house and they ridiculed, or they scoffed, or they mocked. Maybe that'll be the haunting fire that burns within their hearts about what could have been, the chances that they had to receive God's word, and they walked away in pride and rebellion of not receiving it. But on that day, judgment will be received, and there will be a separation. It will be a disastrous for all who are pursuing the world. In verses 31 and 32, it says, "On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back." Remember Lot's wife, as I said. That, in my heart, in the gospel according to Marty, I believe that the point Christ is making there is that don't get so caught up in the world. Don't get so caught up in the world that you lose sight of what's the most important thing. Questions that come from this is, where do you spend your time? How do you spend your time? What things are the most important to you? What will matter most at the end of your life? Is it those things that you are so tied up in and wrapped up in now that you can't give God the time of day? Is it those things that, and folks, all of us want our children to be happy. Someone sent me this last night, I believe it was, and I can't repeat it to you, I don't remember it all, but it was making the point of, we teach our children so many things, and we take them here and we take them there, and folks, I know that you get joy out of your children, I got joy out of mine, I still get joy out of mine. We like to see them laugh. We like to see them happy. We like to see them involved. We like to see them encouraged and to flourish. And sometimes we even go back and relive our lives through them. And we teach them so many things. But never lose sight of what the most important thing is that we have to teach them. That is to honor God and to live rightly. To do the things that matter in this life. And we do that by how we live our lives in front of them. Now that's not a recipe for perfection. We can live the best life in front of our children. It's still going to be up to our children to see what is being presented to them, receive it, and act upon it. It's still up to them. But we as parents and grandparents have an obligation to them to present to them the kingdom of God and to show them the importance of the kingdom of God. If church becomes an afterthought to us, it might be non-existent to them. If church becomes just something else that we do, then how is that message going to be received by our children, by our young people? Our lives will proclaim on that day where our hearts are. The life that we live will validate our hearts. And so what will that life say? Is the kingdom of God our main pursuit, or is it just another thing? As I said, life will swallow you, and it has a bottomless pit for an appetite. There's always something else we can squeeze in. There's always something else that we can do. There's always some other place that we need to be, some other meeting to attend, some other committee to be a part of, some other way of being something. And if you can handle that schedule, that is good and great, because we need people to serve. We need godly people to serve in places in our governing system and in other places, school boards and things. But never lose sight of the fact of what the most important place of service is. That is your service to God. It says in other parts of Scripture where Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. And he goes on another. And they said, well, when did we do all of that? When you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then to others, he'll say, you didn't do all of these things. And they'll say, when did that happen? When did we not? When did we see you like this? And he said, when you didn't do it to the least of my brothers, you didn't do it to me. And so on that day, we want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the reward that I have prepared for you. But that life that we live, each word that we say, each attitude that we have in our hearts, all of that will validate where our hearts are. All of those things will validate where what we hold in importance. All of those things will speak into eternity, where we spend our eternity. God is not robbing you of your joy. He does not want you to walk around sad sack looking down all the time. He just wants you to understand that you want to find your true joy in Him and in His truth and in the lifestyle that He wants His people to live, that speaks His nature, His character into the ears and lives and eyes of the world. Loving God is our primary. All of this other stuff that we worry over and get consumed with, we got to be here, we got to take our children there, they got to be over here, they got to be over there. Do we have that same type of urgency in sharing the gospel with our children? Do we have that same type of urgency of getting our children to church? Do we have that same type of urgency of living in our households in ways that speak God's truth and character and nature into the hearts and eyes of those little ones? That's what God wants us to be. The joy of serving Him. The joy of living for Him. Because on that day, it will be joyous for all those who pursue the kingdom of God. And that is that time of thanksgiving that I spoke to you about. That day of the Lord that a lot of folks look at with such horror and trembling is a time of joy. I remember back in my competitive days, we would practice all week and we would work and we would sweat and we would toil and we would get filthy and we would prepare and we'd go play the game. And then when we won the game, we'd come back in the locker room and you're taking off all of your equipment and there would be a peace about it that we've accomplished. We've persevered. We overcame. We won. And that's very similar in a very simple way. What's going to happen on that day? We work and we toil. We're suffering now. We're in that time of practice. We're in that time of preparation. But then we're going to fight the game, to fight the battle, to fight the war. But in that day, for all of those who love Christ, there will be that time of peace and knowing and understanding that we don't have to fight anymore. That we don't have to worry anymore. That we don't have to ache and hurt anymore. That all of that has been accomplished. And all that we have done to overcome evil and to battle against it has been well worth the price paid. And we're going to take off that battle armor and we're going to put on those glorious, purified robes of the victors that are in Christ Jesus. And we're going to stand with Him and we're going to dine with Him and we're going to live with Him and whatever else that heaven has in store for us. Whatever else the new earth, the new heavens and the new earth has in store for us. Whatever that will be like, we will be a part of it. Without having to worry about disease and pain and suffering and everything that life is trying to do now to us to take the joy away from life. Because Jesus says in John 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." He goes on to say in 28 and 29, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." There's a time of great joy that is coming. For those of us who may die before that day comes, there is a promise of a resurrection. For those of us who are alive when that event happens, there's a promise of a changing of in a twinkling of an eye, as Scripture says, where our new bodies will come to us. It'll be a time when we celebrate the fact that we have overcome, that the battle has been won, that victory is ours. And that victory comes from living our lives now in the present, to be concerned this day with the battle of this day. Not worried about that future. Jesus said the future is going to take care of itself. I'm in charge of the future. Trust me with that. You be concerned. I be concerned. We be concerned with this day, with the evils that are here this day, with the struggles of this day. And give those struggles, those fears, those times of battle to the sovereign control and strength, power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And battle with him, empowered by him, to overcome this day that evil. Because it doesn't matter when Christ comes. When we leave this earth, as far as we're concerned, Christ has come. So be concerned this day, because as Jesus said, no man knows the hour. We don't know when our death is coming. So be prepared for that. Be prepared. And let it be a time of thanksgiving, a time of joy, a time of celebration, that we look to with smiles. Because that's what God has in store for his people. Let me pray for you. Father, in all that we do, we want to please you. In all that we do, we want to be part of your family, enjoying your strength, enjoying the joy of life that you have given. And so, Father, may these words now of warning, but also words of invitation, be ours to act upon. May they be seen as a joyous reunion with our loved one, Jesus Christ. And Father, may you speak into the hearts of us all. May we reflect upon how we hold and what we hold in importance. Speak into our hearts your truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.